Let us hear the word of God this morning, and we read from the Psalm 88. The Psalm 88 this morning, we read all of the psalm. It is a song or psalm for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician upon Nahalath, Leonoth, Maskell of Hanmon, the Ezrahite. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast led me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called upon thee daily. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, and thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Amen. Our Father, we ask a blessing on the reading of Holy Scripture from this pulpit always, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us turn in the Word of God to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, the prophet, the last book in the Old Testament, but one. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and the verse 11 is my text this morning. Verse 11, we'll also read into verse 12. As for thee also, Zechariah 9 verse 11, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Herein, in verse 11, is a description of the saving conversion of sinners by the blood of the covenant. I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. As one poet put it, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Now, there are two things in verse 11 that I want to draw your attention to in these words addressed to Zion. First of all, the misery of sinners, prisoners in the pit wherein is no water, and then the marvel of a gracious Savior. I've sent forth the prisoners by the blood of thy covenant. The misery of sinners and the marvel of a gracious Savior. The misery of sinners, first of all, prisoners in a pit, prisoners in a pit wherein is no water. Here is an awful, a fearful, a terrible pit. David spoke of that pit. We sung of that pit this morning. He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, establishing my way. This pit, the image of this pit, the image of it is of a water cistern. There were many such pits in Israel. Israel is a hot climate, and therefore in the rainy season they have to collect as much water as they can, and so they dig cisterns, pits. They dig them into the ground, and in the rainy seasons they are filled with water, so that throughout the year the people can draw forth from the water. But often these pits dry up and they become places wherein is no water, just miry clay, mess, dirt, darkness. And then them people are often cast as prisoners. These places are often used as prisons whenever they have no water in them. And they're basically a hole in the ground by which you cast or drop the prisoner into them. Joseph was in such a prison, because you read there in the book of Genesis that his brothers took him. They cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Jeremiah also was likewise cast into the dungeon. It was a pit. And he was cast down through the hole with cords into the pit. And the Bible says there was no water in the dungeon, but mar only. And Jeremiah sank. He sank down into the mar, but no water. And so this image is of the sinner, his state, his condition. That's what you are, sinner. This is what you are in your unconverted state, a prisoner. You're not a free man. You're in bondage. You're in darkness. You're in the mire and in the misery of sin, in bondage to sin, in bondage to Satan, in bondage to the justice of God, in bondage to come forth to a fearful judgment day. This is your plight, sinner. Long, the poet said, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. This is a fearful pit. But let me say this, as bad as this pit is, it is not hell. It is not hell. This pit is not the bottomless pit. This pit is not the darkness of outer darkness. The blackness of this pit, however black it is not yet the blackness of the darkness of the bottomless pit forever and ever and ever. Hell indeed is a pit
a bottomless pit, a terrible pit, wherein there is no water, no relief, no refreshment, no hope. You remember the rich man in the pit of hell. You remember him, how he cried and said, "Father Abraham," he cried out of the pit. He said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." No water. A pit wherein is no water. And the rich man is in that place today. And he's going to be in it always. And you remember how it was said to him, "There's a great gulf fixed betwixt us. None can pass from here to there, and none from there to here." There's no hope. No hope for the rich man. The rich man is in the pit. The rich man is in the pit of darkness. But he is not a prisoner of hope. Not a prisoner of hope. No hope. No hope for the rich man. But you, sinner, you're not in hell. You're not in the bottomless pit. You're in this pit in Zechariah chapter 9. But you're a prisoner of hope. There is still hope. The hope of the gospel. The hope of salvation. The hope of grace. The hope of deliverance. In hell, no hope, no deliverance, no redemption. But in Zechariah 9 verse 11, there is hope. There is hope.
Those in Zechariah 9 verse 11 are not disembodied spirits. They are alive physically. They are still in their bodies. And while you, sinner, are in your body, you still have hope. You still have hope. And so, Christless sinner, this morning I say to you, I remind you, there still is hope. Hope for you. Hope for your salvation. But once you die, out of Christ, no hope. Lost. Lost forever. Damned eternally. Prisoners everlasting. Endless despair, weeping, gnashing of teeth, with no prospect of a Savior. But you're not there yet. Praise God, you're not there yet. But you are in this pit, in your unconverted state. No, our fallen state is hell-like, but this world is not hell. There is hope. Gospel hope. But still, the misery and prospects of sinners in this world, in this pit, is fearful. It's a pit wherein is no water. And that describes the misery of sinners. Why is mankind so miserable? Why are people so unhappy? Why is humanity in the state that it is in? Why is the human race in darkness? It's because of the fall. It's because of the fall into this state. It's because in our father Adam, we've been brought into this pit of darkness, this pit of mire, this pit of misery. All mankind, all of us, all mankind by their fall have lost communion with God, are under his wrath and curse, and are made liable to all miseries in this life. To death itself and to the pains of hell forever. That's the misery of the human race. No communion with God. Darkness. Misery. Sin. Uncleanness. It's awful. No water. Now you could imagine yourself shut up in a dark, comfortless, dry cistern, unable to get out, looking up merely at the light in the distance, but unable to get out, unable to reach the light, unable to escape to the light. You're shut up. That's what the way the drug addict is. Yes, the light is pointed out to him, but he's shut up. He's a prisoner. That's a drunkard.
That's a man addicted to the fallen pleasures of this world. You can tell him. You can point him to the light, but he's shut up. He's addicted. He's chained in his sin. He's in bondage. That's you, sinner. In bondage. In bondage to your sin. Shut up in darkness. Oh, the misery. The misery of the unconverted. Now, it is true that the sinner very often does not see his misery immediately. It takes time. It takes time for it to really sink in, how dark and empty and how miserable life really is. Because in this pit, Satan gives you the opium that makes you dream, the opium that makes you think life is wonderful, the opium that tells you the pleasures of sin are pleasurable and they're lasting and they're substantial and they're rich. How the opium of the devil's lie deceives you, and you dream, and your dream is a delusion. But sooner or later, you come out of your dream, and the devil removes his opium. And sooner or later, you discover, perhaps even on your deathbed, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and life is but a dream, and the pleasures of sin have been but a dream. Yes, you can dream in this pit, and you can dream and think you have water. You can dream in this pit under the opium of the devil and think all is well, and its walls are rosy, and it's all bright and cheerful, but it's a delusion. It's a delusion, and you'll soon discover it's a delusion. Oh, the misery of the sinner. It's all a dream. Sinner, when will you awaken? When will you awaken out of life's dream and discover your true state? Discover your darkness. Discover your misery. When will you discover your bondage? When will you discover that the chains of sin and of Satan are around your ankles? Has the Lord not opened your eyes to see it? And so, you need the Lord to open your eyes, sinner. You need the Holy Spirit to illuminate your darkened pit. You really need to see and consider your condition and state. And the Word of God would shine in all of sin. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none righteous, none just, no, not one. Let the Word, the light of the Word, sink up. Sink down and lighten up your darkened cell so that you really see where you are. So that you really discover what you are. And more important, begin to feel your need. Will you never feel your need, sinner? And those of us who are Christians, that through faith in Jesus Christ, we must never forget the pit from which we came. We must never forget what the Lord dug us out of. As the Bible says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, you who are seekers of the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you were dug out of. Look back again, child of God. Look back again to the hole of the pit where the Lord lifted you up, where he took you out, and he put you on the rock and in the stronghold, Christ Jesus. Now and again, look back to the hole that you came out of. Never forget what the Lord saved you from, what he took you out of. And so, sinner, learn your misery. Child of God, never forget the misery of your unconverted state. And then, not only the misery of the sinner, but also the marvel of a gracious Savior. I have sent forth thy prisoners. I have sent them forth by the blood of the covenant. Oh, the marvel of a gracious Savior. The thing about this pit is that you can't get out of it by human effort, by human willpower. We were put into it in the fall through our father Adam, and we can't get out of it. Just as Joseph couldn't get out of it unless he was lifted out of it. And just as Jeremiah couldn't get out of it except the cords were put down and drew him up out of it. So none of us can get out of it until a gracious Savior comes and with the cords of everlasting love draws us up out of it, out of it into the light, out of it into himself, out of it into him, the stronghold, Christ Jesus. Yes, the Bible teaches the total inability of mankind to free themselves from sin and Satan's shackles. That's why it's not of works. It can't be of works. All the works in the world won't get you up out of the pit. No, it's not of works. It's of grace. Grace alone. You need a Savior to come and deliver you. You need a Savior to draw you. To draw you up. To draw you up in grace. To save you. And so, it is impossible for the sinner to be saved by his works, by his efforts, the total inability of man. Prisoners, shut up, shut up. David said, I waited. That's all I could do. I waited. I waited patiently for the Lord. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. He brought me up. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit and from the miry clay. You see, a gracious Savior is your only hope, sinner. A mighty deliverer to save you, to draw you up, to convert you. This is what the sinner needs. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Because God the Father hath constituted his eternal Son to be the Savior of these prisoners. He hath looked down, yes, our blessed Lord Jesus, he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, and he didn't only look down to behold the earth. He came as well to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion. Let's be clear about this. Bondage of sinners and their imprisonment is just. We are wicked sinners, men and women. We are wicked sinners. And our imprisonment and our misery is just. Just for our sins. But grace supplies Jesus Christ. Grace sends a deliverer. Grace would spare us. Grace would pity us. And grace sends Jesus Christ, the King, in verse 9, the King who comes. The King who comes riding with salvation. The King who doesn't come conquering in a chariot, becomes lowly on an ass, on a donkey, coming into Jerusalem, not to triumph with weapons of warfare and with chariots, but riding lowly to come to the cross, to come to the cross, to shed the blood of the covenant, that thereby he might be the deliverer of prisoners from this prison house. And so you will notice that whenever Jesus Christ came, one of the things that he said is, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel unto the meek. He sent me to the brokenhearted to bind them up. He sent me to proclaim liberty. Liberty to the captives. He sent me to open up the prison house and to bring out the prisoner. That's why I've been sent, Jesus said. He said it in the Nazareth synagogue. He sent to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house. Jesus Christ has come. He's come, sinner, to bring you out of the prison house. He's come to say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, now show yourselves, show yourselves. Grace has come. You will notice that there is a covenant, because there's no deliverance without a covenant. No deliverance for these prisoners without the covenant of grace. This covenant is a redemptive covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. There's only one covenant, the everlasting covenant, eternal, a covenant before the world was, a covenant in time, ratified and sealed with blood, the blood of the covenant. What blood is that, you say? Ah, men and women, there is only one blood. Only one blood. And that night our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he said what blood it was. He said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is shed for you, to release you, to redeem you, to set you prisoners free in the forgiveness of all your sins. My blood shed. And so it's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not the blood of bulls and of goats and of sheep. There's only one precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's the cost. That's the cost of the redemption of sinners. By the blood I've brought them forth. By the blood I've brought them out. God sets free sinners, but he doesn't set them free without the blood. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Yes, Jesus has come into the pit himself. Do you not know that, sinner? He has come into the pit himself. There is no other way. He has himself come down. He's gone into the pit, not indeed as a sinner, but as a substitute. He has gone into the pit himself as a deliverer. He can't deliver us. He can't bring us up out until he himself comes down and breaks the chains. He brings in his blood and the bringing in of himself to break our chains and to set us free. On the cross he said, he's in the pit. He's in the pit wherein is no water. On the cross he said, I thirst. I thirst. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. Where is he? He's in the pit. He's in the pit wherein is no water. He's in this pit for us sinners. In the pit to redeem us, to deliver us. He says, let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Psalm 69, don't let it shut its mouth upon me. I'm in the pit. I thirst. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. We read in Psalm 88, I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast led me in the lowest pit. Thou hast led me in the darkness, in the deeps. You've put me here for sinners. You've put me here to redeem them. Oh, don't let the pit shut its mouth upon me. I thirst. Yes, Jesus has come into the pit on Calvary. But he also said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. I will not stay in the pit. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. I'll come up again. I'll come up out of the pit. I'll see my seed. I know I will. And he comes up again. The blood that was shed in the pit brings him up again. And it brings his people up again. The same thing that brings these prisoners out of the pit brings him out of the pit. It's the blood of the covenant that brings him out of the pit. You remember how the apostle says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." The blood brought him up, and the blood brings sinners up. You see then that everything hangs upon the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not see it, sinner? Do you not see the centrality of the cross? Do you not see why we, the Christian church, preach Christ crucified? Do you not see why we proclaim this message? Redemption. Redemption by his blood. By his blood alone. There's no other way. The blood is the cause of deliverance. That is the price in the covenant. No other payment will do. And that's why we preach Christ crucified. And so Christ Jesus is the Savior. And sinners, you need to turn unto him. What does it say in verse 12? Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. There's hope. Turn to the stronghold. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Dying souls, fast bound in sin, trembling and repining, with no ray of light divine on your pathway shining. Why in darkness wander on, filled with consternation? Jesus lives. In him alone can you find salvation. Say like Luther, from the depths of woe, I cry to thee. Lord, hear me, I implore thee. Bend down thy gracious ear to me. My prayer let come before thee. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, sinner, sinner, don't perish. Don't perish in the mire. A hole will soon be opened below you. There's a hole above you of salvation, a Redeemer who can deliver you. But don't delay. Don't delay. A hole will soon be opened below you, and you'll drop into the bottomless pit. No hope. No hope. All hope gone, forever and ever. And you, dear child of God, take time this morning to come to the table, to thank your Redeemer. In the words of the poet, preserved by Jesus, when my feet made haste to hell, and there should I have gone, but thou dost all things well. Thy love was great, thy mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. A monument of grace, a sinner saved by blood, the streams of love I trace up to the fountain, God, and in his sovereign counsel see eternal thoughts of love to me. Remember the cost, child of God. Don't forget your gracious Savior. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Remember, remember the cost, child of God. Remember the Lord. And that's why he instituted this supper. That's why he reminded us of this blood of the covenant. Zechariah 9:11 was in his mind. The blood of the covenant. He reminded us of it. He reminded us of the forgiveness of our sins. And he said, do this. Oh, it's the very least you can do, child of God, to remember your Lord. So come. Come to the table and remember your Lord Jesus Christ. And let your response be as the response of one at the end of this chapter 9. How great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Oh, the marvel of a gracious Savior.
Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy grace revealed in Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the stronghold Christ Jesus. And we thank Thee that all who have run into Him are saved and safe. Oh, bless Thy people in Christ. And we ask Thee, Lord, by this gospel word, that Thou wilt awaken by the Holy Spirit sinners. Let the light shine into their dungeon. Let them see their state. Let them feel their condition. And give to them grace. Grace to seek Christ. Make them seekers through grace. Bless the word proclaimed. And exalt and glorify the name Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.